Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
In the Netflix series that you had, where you went like, I think it was 7 days, like you just try to just only spend with black businesses. And he's like, even if you, it's like everything has to be black.
You gotta learn to cooperate. You know war is won without allies. I'm sorry I got off point, but the point that I'm trying to make is that the federal government at one point, instead of making the big banks do fair business in terms of redlining stuff with black people, mm-hmm. said, no, we'll just support the black bank. And they never came through on their promise.
Right.
And they still want us to come vote, but they never came through on their promise. We should be forcing the hand of the federal government to do that. And at the same time, we should be cooperating with larger banking institutions, many of which whose banks were built directly off the backs of enslaved Africans.
Yeah.
Right. You look at stocks and bonds. A lot of that is you were the stock and the bond. You were the property. Mm-hmm.
Insurance
you,
company.
You, yeah, that's that. What you were. So yeah. My thing is, again, I learned selling drugs. Me and you could be at war a year ago, and a year later, the prices is right. And shit, I don't want to kill you no more, Rollo. I got 100 bands. You got 100 bands. We got a $250 deal. My buddy got 25. Your buddy got 25. So at a certain point, it's not that the pain isn't there. It's not that the tragedy isn't there. At what point do we have to start understanding that to win a war, I must ally? The United States and Russia have never liked each other. Just two radically different concepts on how to treat people and how to give them money. But when Germany popped up and was Omar and everybody, motherfuckers found a way to get along.
Shout out to the wife.
So we have to think with the same mentality that I don't have to like or love you, but in matters of strengthening me as an individual, in my understanding, what I can do in my group, in our community, I will partner or ally with you in a matter of a bigger role. And that's just what it is.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question real quick, because I know not only are you an entrepreneur, but you're really into politics.
I don't want to be.
I was going there.
That was the segue?
What you just said is what you said about the president now. You're like, I don't have to like him or even vote for him, but if he does something that helps my community, I should take advantage of that.
Because I'm taking advantage of everything. I'm telling you, but that's every president.
Right.
Yeah, that ain't just president now. There has been no president that has been for the black community.
Right. Right. You wanted to make
hold on, take that in.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That has been no president that has been for the black community. But if your policy affects the black community in a positive way, which can affect the greater community, I have to pay you some attention. It's that simple. I have to pay you some attention.
You don't think Obama was for? No. Not really.
This is I'm clear in what I say and how I say it. There has been no president that's for the black community. But if that president plan in any way or policy helps the black community, I'm for that thing. You get what I'm saying? I rate all U.S. presidents at about a C. Different variations from a C minus down into the D's to, you know, when you start off with slave masters and presidents, that's a really funky term. You know what I'm saying?
It's a low barrier.
So you have to spend your life as a person of color reconciling the fact that the dollars that are in your pocket, the dead men, the slave masters that own that give worth and value to the things you're doing, owns people, and that wealth is come. So, you know, when we get woke and we get mad and we want to castigate rappers and entertainers and shit, you don't do the right thing with your money. You have Andrew Jackson on your $20 bill that you're tipping this stripper with. He committed genocide on people that were from middle of America and that were red and were here before he got here. So you're passing a genocidal bill to pay for your Ciroc and your knee to get grinded on, and you never chastise yourself enough to say, I'll only pay by PayPal because I'm or Greenwood. So I'm.
By the way,
you know, you know, man, in matters of money, we had better learn that we're going to have to pack some emotion to the side to accomplish specific goals from a monetary standpoint, so that we can take care of ourselves. Because no one's coming to save us.
Yeah.
Nothing's coming out of the sky to save us. Karma, although it's a nice concept. Evil people live longer and they seem to be happier. George Bush didn't die. He was 90 middle something.
So, but you were supporting Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely.
So you have progressive, I guess, liberal views.
If voting for Bernie Sanders takes my taxes up out of the 40s into the 50s, just at 60 even, takes care of the next 25 to 30 years of Americans in terms of education, healthcare, trade and college education, mm-hmm. and basics and extensive healthcare, and provide social programs that grow us as a country, I have no aversion to supporting that. And in fact, I think that much of his policy has been raped, robbed, and looted by both parties at this point, versus us getting behind the person who wanted to give us everything we would have needed during this pandemic, including some type of universal income, including some type of healthcare that was universal leading toward it, including decriminalization of marijuana, including a federal task force that would have dealt with rogue police officers, including all these things that would have affected us. But because we didn't do it, because we didn't go that move, or because we got robbed of it, or whatever the theory is, then you gotta deal with what you got, and you better master your coin. You know, because we're in a system where as much as they want to say they care like Bernie, they don't. And if you're not going to allow me to pay my 10 or 15 extra to let someone like him lead the way, don't get mad that I'm gonna try to keep an extra 10 or 15% and figure out who the fuck Trump's tax lawyer is so I can be on the west side.
750, right?
But yeah. I did, you know, I didn't vote for the evil person.
I want to go back to Greenwood for a sec, because a lot of times, and even in the book, it dives into the fact of black banks being put in neighborhoods, right, where deposits weren't coming in at a frequent rate.
Yeah.
And so they had to charge higher interest rates when they weren't loaning out money. Because most people don't really understand how banks make money.
Yeah. The loans is what makes them.
Right. So my thing is, like, is Greenwood, is it going to be similar? Like, how are the interest rates? Are they going to be competing with the big banks? Or
that's their goal. First is deposit savings. And so it's steps. This is where we are first.
Mm-hmm.
First, the goal is to wipe out check cashing. To wipe out the main parasites in poor and working class people's lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, people here save 20, 40 bucks. It doesn't sound like much to them. But when you're talking about now you can save 10% of your income, what about when that person gets a raise and get 500, get 1,000? Now you're saving more money. So that is the attack. And the next phase is in loans and home ownership, automobile ownership, and then the phase after that. So I like the fact that Ryan is, unlike in the past, is not trying to do everything himself at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
As much as he's seeking, and they're talking to allies at this moment, realizing who are they going to get into business with in terms of partnering with larger institutions that recover, who are the institutions that your money is actually going to be sitting with, and as a platform, what they can do to reduce fees and cost to you, help you become more financially literate, help you to save.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that's the first step, eradicate the check cashing.
Yes.
Which in the back of the day was also the cell phone store.
Yeah, absolutely. That's level one.
Right?
That's and level
then,
one.
Then we got the deposits and loans.
Yeah.
And so I guess the last stage would be business loans, small business loans?
Yeah, well, small, I mean, I don't think that's the last stage. I just think that if you're going to run 9 miles, plot out your first three.
Okay.
Then plot out your next three and then your final three, right?
Gotcha.
So let's just say those are the first 3 miles.
Yeah, and I read somewhere Ryan said, like, I think 50% of black businesses get loans at 50% lower rate than white businesses.
I think it's at 50% lower rates. We're also denied in comparable applications.
Mm-hmm.
We're denied 21% of the time, and whites only 8.
Okay, so I'm assuming that's something that you guys will be trying to eradicate as far as what Greenwood.
There's definitely going to be, you know, Greenwood is not Superman. It doesn't come in and say, right. What it is a part of the Avengers. It's a part of alternative ways now for us to take control of our dollar. And that's everything from a new black credit union that's popping up. That's everything from the traditional black banks that are already in the market, whether it be Citizens Trust or Carver or One United. And that's new platforms and fintech like Greenwood.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an advocate for, you know, if you want to get the freedom, take a whole lot of buses. You know, don't depend on everyone going in one bus. You know what I'm saying? Andy even told me and Ryan, don't travel together. You know what I mean? He's just like, what you guys are doing is that serious. Don't even travel together. Because if freedom is the objective, there may be slightly different variations of, but we'll get there, even if it's not at the same time. But I think we need a lot of pistons firing in an engine, not just one. And we have to begin to end our want or need to critique or overly criticize based on a past failure. Because a failure is something you learn from.
That's the part. It was like, if people understood their relationship with the money, they would understand. It's like, if my iPhone breaks, I don't say I'm never using Apple again. I'm just gonna get another iPhone. You know what I mean? But if I bank with Citizens, so shout out to Citizens. But if they mess up a deposit, it's not like, yo, I'm never banking with them again. I'm gonna give them the same rebate.
We gotta get it fixed.
Right.
That's why I tell people, like, one day as a leader, which I wasn't even in the space to be, but AKA and other people like that, black women make you lead. But I'm gonna say, my bad, I fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, let me get back on the bus.
Let's
figure it out. And it's another reason I constantly consult with people too. You know what I mean? Even before saying yes to this, I called around to black men who had ran banks. I called around to people working. Like, what do you think of this? What's fintech? Help me understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, you know, at least, I already knew, you know, I already trusted Andy. I already trusted Ryan because I'd seen him do it. But I just wanted to learn more. I'm going to constantly, like, I found you guys just learning. Just kind of bouncing around. You know what I'm saying? Like, this motherfucker look like a 90s R&B. He's like,
yeah,
nigga, small. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, like, Showtime. You saw the rest of the group? That we definitely
know. Oh, that is that. You know what I'm saying? The beige rage.
Nah, I appreciate that. So, all right. So, as far as business, because you're a business owner,
as well, obviously,
we're sitting in a business right now.
Yep.
So, as you said, brick and mortar, especially brick and mortar businesses have been hit tremendously hard since the pandemic, especially black businesses. Over 40% of black businesses have completely closed. So what is your opinion? Because I personally think that like some of the problems in the black community as far as business is that we're too reliant on brick and mortar. Because that's what we know, right? It's like we know sneaker stores, we know hair salons, we know restaurants, we know barbershops. They're all great because they're service-based businesses. Yeah. But in times like this, it's difficult because you have overhead, you have staff, you have things of that nature. So now you're going into the financial space, but you still have a brick and mortar business.
Yeah.
You think there's a balance between the two for business owners? Or?
I mean, I think there has to be for certain businesses. You know, I think that people like the congregating fellowship. So you can only keep churches, restaurants, liquor stores, and barbershops closed so long. You know, them guys are gonna hang in front of that liquor store. You know, people are gonna come to get groomed.
It was an essential business.
Business.
Yeah. So they couldn't even close it.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Liquor's coming. You can't get drunk. You gonna go crazy. You allow the politicians sneaking us off. But we had to change methodology in here. You come here now. Either you have a mask or we have one available. Take your temperature by appointment only. If we have four people in the chair, there can only be four of the people sitting. So. You know, and my staff is great about that. I gotta give them that. They keep it clean. They keep it sanitized. Our bathrooms are always on. That's a stickler of mine. Make sure I judge businesses.
That's what Bam was like. Yo, this might be the cleanest barbershop I've ever seen in my life. Like it's immaculate.
Shouts out Celine. What's my new guy's name?
Sam.
Shouts out to Sam.
Shout out to Sam.
Celine.
I thought Sam was cutting hair.
Celine is such a pro. He got hired as an intern, paid internship. You know, not a lot, but I would have bought a few pair of Jordans. But Celine also has a talent of camera work. And he said, hey, I've worked myself out of internship. I'm still going to do this type of stuff in the shop, but I'm going to find a comparable replacement and train him. So I got to give him. Those are the type of people you want on the team. And I spent a lot of years floundering in barbering because what we had was people who were used to the old school way in which I cut hair all day, but I don't clean up all day.
Mm.
It was, I paid booth rent, so I feel like I'm an independent contractor, but you never have to worry about your air being hot. You never have to worry about it being covered. You never have to, or those things get solved quickly, but you never think about the variation in booth rent and every time, that type of stuff. So I love working with people that get it, you know what I'm saying? And I love working with people that take cleaning the corners of a building as seriously as they take making sure that the light is on outside in that register. Because, you know, I have poured a lot into a dream that really is a platform for other people to prosper from. You know, I will not have succeeded if we do not do what Chick-fil-A did. Chick-fil-A took a novel concept and gave the first opportunity for franchising to members of the church and members of the family. They gave it to people they knew would take pride in. So Chick-fil-A has always been ran with a different type of pride. You know, Andy Young talks about going and seeing Kathy Truitt walk into stores and start cooking himself. You know, that is a mission that's greater than I want to make a lot of money. That has added locations. That has sent kids to college because they got an amazing scholarship fund. People genuinely seem happy when you walk into Chick-fil-A. You going to McDonald's?
A little different.
That ain't hanging on McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? You can tell they might not be treated this way. So my goal is to, much like Chick-fil-A, grow ownership right from behind these barber chairs and behind that desk. So, you know, if Salim or Sam or any intern that comes through here grows to become an owner, you know, shouts out to Melissa over with the Hawks, who went from being a ball girl, I think, in the NBA for ball, now runs marketing for the Hawks. Those are the type of stories I want my platform to create. And that does come with making money, but that comes from having a team of people that add to that in that way.
I think that's why what you're doing, you guys are doing, it's so important because you get it, right? Like, you know what it takes to give a loan or to a barbershop or a hair salon.
Yeah.
These businesses that typically wouldn't get a loan.
Yeah.
But you said something interesting now, your dreams, right? So the barbershop, was this a dream? And if so, what's the next? I'm thinking in my mind, like, you didn't know the fintech, so this kind of just came along and it was a great opportunity. So what are the big
aspects? I wanted to own it, but like I knew very young I was lazy. Very young. I was like, this yard work shit. This is not for the real, man. What are you talking? People selling drugs out here, bro. What are you talking about? I see my nigga make $300. My grandmother gave me that raggedy ass lawnmower. I'm going, you know, pushing fucking mowers for 25, 20 bucks. And then old people, like, after they see you do it quick, maybe I shouldn't get it for me. This nigga $12. Scoot on. You know, you don't think old people can slick you, but they'll finesse you on the west side. But when my mom took me to Decatur, you know, my mom lived in the cab. Those people didn't mind paying 20 bucks. There was a kid living next door to me, didn't mind getting paid 10. So I would charge ours 25. You know what I mean? I'd give him 10, keep 15. He's my lawnmower. I got to do maintenance on this motherfucker, dog. And, so I learned very early that figure out the deal and figure out who's smarter. My mom had a good business mind. You know what I mean? She was always about not working and figuring out ways to. She was a florist by nature, which means she was an artist. She dated very successful. She dated a very successful drug dealer who opened up businesses as well. So she was just always thinking. So, you know, for me, it's like, what's my next thing? My next thing is mastering the thing that I started before I find a next thing. Mm. You know, the banking made sense, but I've been peeking and poking around there for the last 6-7 years. So this came and dropped in my lap, but it was too perfect not to do. And it's really a matter of me just getting out and getting the message out, letting people know, hey, we're here. You have an option that doesn't lead you to the check cashing place after you get your summer camp job, right? Mm-hmm. That's easy enough to do. It's daunting getting up at 6:30 in the morning because people with money are getting up early watching TV. You know what I'm saying? By the time 7-9 o'clock traffic hit, they already in front of themselves. They've done what they had to do. So that part is like, okay, this is like a real job. I got to wake up. But the brick and mortar stores that we do in terms of these shops, and I call them stores, because what I learned really early is if I'm dependent on barbers and booth rent, I'm going to fail. I'm going to close because people's lives is happening. You don't know whose child needs what. You don't know what emergencies are coming up with their parents. A lot of barbers are talented people. They're making money on the quick. So they, like regular artists or entertainers or tradesmen, are responsible for more people than themselves. You know, so I started to not understand, because I still got to pay my rent, but I started to see the glitch in the matrix. So we are transitioning to a commission shop, right? So I've been talking to people like the owner of Sports Clips. I've been talking to people like who worked in Floyd's and Rudy's system, getting it as we sharpen our system. But what kept us open and kept us prospering and went from being just a pet project that I wanted to have a barbershop so I could have a guy's place to hang, as long as it paid for myself, my business partner and wife, you know, as long as it paid for itself, she wasn't going to give me too much trouble. You know, my managers had sat down like, no, it's paying for itself. You know, you make a grand or two after booth rent and all your bills paid. So it was like, cool. I was like, but then I'm like, you know what? Like when I'm sitting in a barbershop, I oftentimes just need a t-shirt. Like I just went and picked up some crack Air Forces and I got to go to the BP. I don't even want to go to the BP. I got to go to the BP. I got to get Jerome a dollar. I don't even want no pads. They t-shirt quality whack. I don't feel like going to DTLR. So I started saying, why are we not selling t-shirts?
Yeah.
We start selling t-shirts. And then it goes from fussing and fighting with the barber about the monies they don't or don't have, or how short or short, to knowing I'm doing thousands of month in merchandise. And I start to understand that not only are we a barbershop, we're a cultural center. And the swag shop, unlike most barbershops with shave, wash, and groom, have the actual culture of barbering. So our faces are painted red like a London-style barbershop. Mm-hmm. Our pole is red like a London-style barbershop. Once you get in, we try to keep it very simple in terms of what you see with the barbers. We use very, you know, with manly stuff. You can grab this stuff out of Cindy Sears, Amazon, order it, it drops. We have art, because I'm a fan of art. Chris Hobay did this from Art Revolts. He also did the back. We keep things very simple, very clean, very tasteful, very manlike. And then we get you here. Come and look at the cool shit you can buy. The matching Nikes you just got from Walter's. Or the outfit for What's Happening, or Wish. We have a symbiotic relationship with other small businesses in which we want to make merch. The Travis Scott drop, the colorway is no accident. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And I know that everybody doesn't want to wear the exact same outfit to the club. So our customers get exclusives, one of 150 made, one of 250 made. You know, our staple shop shirt sale. We got a Transformers, we got a Starscream shirt. Your barbershop ain't got no fucking star. You know what I mean? So
I don't even know if they know what Starscream. That was my favorite character.
Come on, man. You got to see the one with the two ravens.
We'll man.
So what we're in the business of doing now is making sure that not only do you get a shave, wash, and groom, proper shave, wash, and groom, because you just sitting there getting a dry haircut is an experience you might argue about sports. But a shave washing room is the only 30 minutes to an hour that the black man or American working class man gets. That's just his. Your wife, no, I told my wife, I'm putting my shit on motherfucker. Blame mode. Don't call me. I'm in the barbershop. This is your country club. And so after you get that cut and that exchange happens, now you get here and you get to take a piece of that culture in the real world with you. And what you're also about to start seeing from us is content. We work with actual artists. Ian Clare is an artist we work with. Chris Holbey is an artist. Scott Fuller is a graphic designer we work with. So as we drop stuff, you're going to see this stuff now leave. And this is, you know, when we talk about Sean Rashard, we're talking about, to me, two of the most influential black men walking the face of the earth. It means something that you're in this shirt, because this shirt needs to say, because on the back it reads, your work ethic determines your worth, right? These men prove that work ethic determines your worth. It actually proves that. So in the real world, I want this culture to leave from behind that counter and go in the real world and create positive and systemic change.
You know what this reminds me of, Troy, somebody that we interviewed recently? Can you guess?
I know what you're going to say. Say it.
Yeah, so another hip-hop legend, especially where we come
from. I know you're going to say
it. We haven't dropped this interview yet, so I'm gonna let the cat out.
Shout out to 914.
Styles P? Styles the man, fuck you talking about? Ghost, man.
That's crazy.
So it's crazy because, you know, he has a juice bar.
Yes,
and,
I know.
And Yonkers, and we did the interview in the juice bar, and he was telling us how, well, actually, before he got there, the staff was telling us how it changed the whole culture in the community. Yeah, yep. Like, people come and they look forward to getting a juice. And it's like, and then his wife was telling us now they not only do the juices, but they got the online juice and they got the merch and they got the whole thing. They turn into a whole business. So it reminds me of the same thing. It's like, not only are you, it's a cultural thing, like you said, it's a culture for the community, but you're integrated vertically. Rest in peace to Nip.
That's what I was about. I'm going to, because I'm like, yo, this is now, like when we went to LA, we had to go to the Marathon store.
Me too.
Right? Absolutely. And so it was like, it becomes a cultural landmark.
Absolutely.
And so, like, you know, I saw Nipsey out here. I'm like, yo, that's what you created.
Absolutely.
A cultural landmark was like, now when you come to Atlanta, you have to come. Absolutely. When you go to Yonkers, yo, where's the juice bar at? You know what I'm saying? And it provides not only opportunity for you, it also provides opportunity for the communities. Because the next thing, it was like, yo, how do we grow? Because maybe this merch sells out so fast, now you got to get a factory. But that also hires.
Well, it's not a maybe. We're in this Friday. Or this Friday or next Friday, I go about an hour north of here to look at screen pressing machines, as I own a garage far from here. And, you know, let's use round numbers, right? Drug dealer talking. We're going to use a $10,000 number, right? So you made $10,000 last month. Your employees, hey, you made $10,000. What I learned from my wife, whose grandmother ran a liquor shot house, right? They think numbers. You see a pint, they know how much each shot out that pint costs and how much they should make off each pint. She says, well, I say, well, how much it costs us to make the 10? Because if it costs us 7 to make the 10, I only made 3.
Yeah.
I want to put 3 in and make 7 out. I want to change that, right? So I said, how can I cut costs? Because I'm looking at the shirts. We like a lot of color, but the more color you use, the more expensive the shirts are. I said, man, yo, fuck this shit. I said, I know somebody got laid off a furlough to fucked up, man. I know it's somebody that can run an ink. I know it's somebody that can run a screen print operation. I got a building. Why don't I just go buy my own machine?
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the process of doing that right now. Right? I love Rick Ross as a businessman. Rick Ross got 300 Sun Acres, got Holyfield on shit. The first question, the nigga like, I'm lazy. Nigga, who gonna cut the fucking grass? Rick Ross starts a grass cutting company. The way he's shouting out John Deere, I'm sure they gave the niggas a free tractor. And now his homeboys, they would say, hey man, let me hold son, saying, let me get a job.
Yeah.
Because most people want the dignity of having a job. And now he has a way to cycle his money within its own ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he got Trump's tax money. Shouts out.
you want know, that money. Me too.
And now he's able to put the people around him on staff. He's able to big up John Deere. Well, he got to have a deer. Rose, you got to tell. I need the John Deere.
Yeah, we'd like to talk to you about that.
I'm just about 4 acres in here. Boy, I need a tractor bag. But so that's it. You have to start. You learn to do that. You learn to get in the game at first,
mm-hmm.
and then start saying, well, what can I produce? What can I do? You know, so whether it's Jay, who got us into doing lighters. So, you know, big lighters are not cheap, but they're all the lighters I use. But people are willing to pay. You know, it's easy to sell nicks. It's harder to sell dime. But, you know, it's easy to sell nicks.
If the work's good.
Yeah, like, you know.
Sell the stuff.
Don't or, suffer, so, you know? So we have the specialty items that are synonymous with Killer Mike. If you watch Trigger Warning, you want to know where to get Cripple Colon Blood Pop, well, just pop up at the shop.
I was just about to
go to the store. You get your Cripple Colon Blood Pop, and more than likely, you're going to say, well, let me grab a new arrow. Let me grab a lighter. White woman came here last week. Man, I just popped up in the shop. I just popped up in. White woman, man, spent 200 and some odd dollars. God bless her beautiful Pat Benatar listening to in the 80s song. This was the coolest mom ever. In the middle of this shop, with all black guys, nobody looking menacing. She was just like, my son loves y'all. And I wanted to come in. He's a Run the Jewels fan. I'm like, you are the coolest motherfucking mom. We took a great pic. But that type of stuff happens more often than not. And I realized that the swag shop, you know, a lot of people say it's a brand. It absolutely is a brand, but it's a brand based around the culture of black and working class barbershops. And what my ambition is to have, my small ambition is to have 150, three in every major black market. That's from Buffalo to Miami, mm-hmm. from Los Angeles to Charlotte, to have three and to expand. I see now, as I learn more about this game and I see Floyd's and Rudy's and Supercuts and Great Clips, I don't see any reason why we can't get in excess to 500.
Yeah, so at this point, I'm thinking, when people see you, do they even think about music, or the first thing they think about is like, yo,
well, Run the Jewels was top 10 on the Billboard 200. Right. We sold a lot of records. We just did an Adult Swim special, our only performance this year, that's on HBO Max for a month.
Yeah.
We're arguably the greatest rap duo in the world right now. So I think that people know me for music, but I'm more encouraged that people know me for more than music.
Right.
So my family's from Tuskegee, Alabama. And if you talk about Lionel Richie, of course, you start singing and people start thinking of great records. My family's a landowner family. So what my aunties remind you of, you know, he bought a lot of LLA, baby. He did some of his money. He didn't just give it all to children. So first, stop having children out of wedlock. And then buy some land like Lionel Richie. You know, and I can attest to that because I was talking to a billionaire 3 days ago and he said one of the most savvy business people I know is an entertainer named Lionel. He calls him Lionel. You know, white folks
say Lionel.
White folks say Lionel. Lionel. Richie.
Richie.
Put a French on him.
Nah, that's dope. And even when we interviewed the barber before, and he gave me an idea I never thought about. I go to barber shops my whole life, and he was like, how many times you see the barber selling hair grease, selling brooms, selling a brush, selling a comb?
We said.
Like, yeah, it's like, but you would think, like, that makes sense. That makes complete sense. It's like, why would I have to leave the barber shop to buy
hair grease? I hate going into beauty stores with my wife. So
I feel you on that.
We started brushing. I hate going into beauty stores to buy my grease. So we'll make sure everybody gets a brush and stuff too. But beyond that, I found a black company based here in Atlanta that does private labeling, that you sit down with, let them know what you want. They create a line for you, and we've got our own line created. And we'll be using a black company as our source locally to supply our line. So by Christmas Day, you'll get a package to take care of your skin, your beard, your face, and all that. Because as a guy, man, I'm just simple. I go to the mall, or again, I go to Walters or Wish, or I go to Sneaker Cartel, and I get my kicks. I don't feel like doing other shit. You know what I'm saying? I want to get, oh man, I'm in the shop. I got my, oh, give me that Kill Your Masters. Give me that Kill Your Masters. Give me that brush. And I need some grease.
One-stop shop.
One-stop shop, man. Because I sat in my barbershop on the south side, the OG shop, and I'm sitting there, you know, slightly stoned, just observing things. And I see a guy come in selling socks. I see a woman come in selling juices. Mm-hmm. I see another guy coming in selling shit he stole from CVS. You know what I'm saying?
And there's always that guy. There's always that guy.
This is just a shop. This is a store. But and then, you know, I got it where it was like, again, where did I learn business? The trap. I start taxing people. Oh, you come to my shop, I got to have 10. What if I make no money? That ain't got nothing to do with me. You in my shop spinning. So then they start serving on the outside of the door. So then I say, well, hey, man, you're on my curb. You got to give me 5. But you're not going to come here and not face some taxation, because every month, man, this man want this money, man. And this woman I sleep with tonight, this fine, beautiful woman, she like money probably as much as she like me. And she like me before I had money. So I can't go to her telling her, baby, we ain't good.
We ain't got
you
it.
Got to pay me for it. That's when I got the understanding that we're not a barbershop, we're a store.
How is the Cripple Cola and the Blood Pop doing?
Selling out daily. Shouts out to Thug. He took a picture with the big homie Bear Lope. We took a bunch of Blood Pop up, did a studio session last night.
Okay.
So shouts out Tip, shouts out to Thug, shouts out to Savage. They all.
Is Jay partnered with you on that? Or I know he had purchased some and put it in a lyric, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, man, he gave us a shout out. Like, man, to get a free Jay-Z shout out, man, I'm like, I owe Jay for life. If Jay calls me tomorrow and says I want in, then yeah, what are we doing, sir? You know what I'm saying? It's still fledgling. We're still building it. Mm-hmm. We're still very proud of it, and we're determined to make it something. I think that there is room in the market for the brands that we've built up with street fraternities, with neighborhood cliques, with dope sayings. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There should be an Old Boy cologne. I don't fuck with nobody saying. Yeah. Cam is fly. Cam can sell cologne as easily as Johnny Depp. You know what I mean? Remember the old Johnny Depp shirt? Yeah, like Cam can do that. So my thing is, you have to do it for it to be done. So Cripple Cola and Blood Pop are real things. Right now, you can buy them anywhere Exotic Pop is sold. Mm-hmm. Exotic Pop has been doing a dope job of getting it out there. You can buy it at the locations, at the swag shop locations, and a few more places. And you want to, you know, our goal is to go national.
How you doing with stocks? I've seen a couple.
Yeah, that's a my wife question. I bought her after, like, I bought Shay. These are the kind of gifts I get my wife, right? So, like, if I'm just like in Lenox, I went into the Apple Store and grabbed some sneakers. I'm going to probably stop by Victoria's Secret, grab like some panties and bras because I like to see her in them, right? I'm probably, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm probably going to go, you know, pop up at one of the high end purse stores because that's just habit at this point. And I like seeing a happier face. But you do that so many times and you're just like, you know, this is, it doesn't hit as hard because a woman, you know, like my woman, she likes security. She likes the purses, the boots and that stuff. But within the last few years, I've gotten more about, let me buy you things that appreciate. So I bought her grandmother's original house. I bought her a duplex in an empowerment zone. I bought a set of apartments. I bought a lot of cool things for her. The apartment I bought for us. The other stuff I bought just for her because I wanted her to be able to make, I told her early on, if you quit your job and just work helping me do me, I'll guarantee you $120,000 salary. So I was like, my goal is to make sure you make $10,000 a month that ain't got shit to do with me. Mm. And, you know, a few months ago, she came to me and showed me a piece of paper and said, you know, you got me there. I've never acknowledged it. I just want to tell you, thank you. I love you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my wife.
Did she ask for a raise?
No.
No.
I told her, I ain't no raises.
We bosses. Ain't no raises. He always gets us in trouble. With that, you know,
shout out
to him. Come on, man. Damn.
But I started buying her stocks, just S&P 500 stocks, stuff that I know we're going to always use. My grandparents were just regular working class folks, but they bought me Coca-Cola and Delta stocks because those were two of the biggest companies here. They knew those companies weren't going anywhere. So I don't know as much about stocks as she does, but I know she's been very happy.
Okay.
Number one.
I bought her a lot of it.
Yeah.
So.
Dope.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.